In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Once upon a time, there was a man of God whose name was Abram. Now, Abram spent his whole life making choices that reflected his confidence in the promise of God. Abram enjoyed the fruits of those choices, and Abram grew very wealthy. But Abram thought that God had promised him children. And now Abram, who was getting on in years, was beginning to wonder whether he had heard God correctly. This is where our first reading picks up today. God comes to Abram in a vision. God says to Abram, "Do not be afraid." And so Abram laments that an employee will inherit his estate. Abram is concerned about the opportunity cost of following God. Abram has received many good things, but he has not received that one thing that he really wants, an heir. In our gospel reading today, Jesus is speaking not to one man, but to a large crowd, multiple thousands, about the same economic concept, opportunity cost. Opportunity cost is about making hard choices with limited resources. It's about the road not taken, choosing one investment over another. Jesus is surrounded by all these people bringing to him their worries and their anxieties. And most of the people are talking about money. There are so many risks to be managed. There are robbers, embezzlers, custodial fees. There are bankruptcies, defaults, market swings. There are inflation, devaluation, natural disasters. And there are inevitably taxes. And so, like God speaking to Abram, Jesus tells his listeners, "Do not be afraid." Jesus points to a different investment opportunity. He asks his listeners, "Have you considered investing in the kingdom of God? And have you added up the opportunity cost of not doing so?" We try to be wise investors, so how about a prospectus on the kingdom of God? That prospectus would need to answer four questions. What is the kingdom of God? Why and how would you invest in it? What are the risks? And what are the promised returns? So, what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the experience of God's reign in the world. Life in God's kingdom is life that transcends the concerns of popular culture, and politics, the 24-hour news cycle. It is a life that instead is rooted in solid, eternal truths of dignity, compassion, hope, and love. The kingdom of God is what Abram knew as the promise of God. So how do you invest in God's kingdom? Jesus declares that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What do you truly treasure? Where is your heart, your concern, your passion? What matters to you? And how do you choose to spend your time? You have the option to invest in God's kingdom with every heartbeat, with every thought, word, and action. I see people investing in God's kingdom all the time around Epiphany. It is God's kingdom we seek to enact as we gather to celebrate the Holy Eucharist. It is God's kingdom I encounter as I meet various people in this parish, all engaged in ministry, all finding the kingdom of God within yourselves and sharing it with others. You share it in celebrations, in desserts, and in small groups. You share it in cards, and in quiet words of gratitude, and in the ministry of the Eucharistic visitors. You share it as ushers and organizers, and singers. It's God's kingdom I see as I meet the staff, volunteers, and participants in Kids for Peace, some of whom are with us today. These are the brave souls who refuse to place their hearts in the hands of cynics and bigots and warmongers. They also refuse to leave their hearts in the hands of their hurting friends and family members who have been brutalized by oppression and terrorism. Instead, they place their hearts in the hands of a loving God and in the possibility of a peaceful coexistence. The Jerusalem students in particular know about opportunity cost and risk and the real physical danger in which they place themselves by their participation in Kids for Peace. They are not afraid because for them, the returns outweigh the risks. What are the risks of investing in the kingdom of God? Those the Bible makes clear to us. The first will be last. We turn the other cheek. We love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. We leave vengeance to God. And like Abram, we wait on God's time, not our own. We also do practical everyday things, like spending hours in Seattle traffic, driving 72 miles in a single afternoon to deliver flowers, to express our love and solidarity with someone who is hurting or lonely. Those might not be terribly practical things to do, but we do them anyway, because that's what you do when you invest heartbeats in the kingdom of God. And we do these things because the returns on our investment are beyond measure. Investment in the kingdom of God means participation in the deepest reality of creation, a reality that transcends the social, cultural, and political constructs we've overlaid on top of it. Investment in the kingdom of God means being defined, finding my value and my identity, not in the transitory goods of this world, not in the opinions of people, but in God alone. It is an utterly secure investment, completely immune to market forces, unshakable. In today's gospel, the people are asking Jesus, what does investing in the kingdom of God look like in the economic sphere? And Jesus responds, do not be afraid. You know you're in trouble now. Whenever God says, do not be afraid, things are changing. Jesus tells the people, do not be afraid, sell your possessions, give to the poor. Left on its own, Jesus' statement sounds kind of scary. It makes me afraid. And I don't want to minimize what Jesus is saying or rationalize it away. It's not as if he were a tame lion. But I do want to put Jesus' advice into some context. What Jesus is suggesting to his listeners, the advice that he's giving them, is to practice one of the many spiritual disciplines handed down to us by our Jewish forebears, the discipline of giving. It was several years ago that I went to Virginia Tech. During that time, as I was in college, as I began to embrace my faith, one of the most important, transformative books that I read was Richard Foster's Celebration of Discipline. It's a practical handbook on the hows and whys of practicing 12 core spiritual disciplines, ranging from worship to simplicity to submission. The purpose of a spiritual discipline is to help reorient a believer's life, to help your life be defined more by the kingdom of God and less by anything else. Foster's book transformed my life by teaching me practical skills for investing my whole self in God's kingdom. The discipline of giving is meant to help you disentangle your identity from wealth and possessions, and to help you live into your true identity as a child of God. The discipline of giving helps us to discern whether we own our wealth and use it to nurture our connection to the kingdom of God and to one another, or whether it owns us and keeps us anchored to a lesser, more isolated kingdom. The discipline of giving invites us to divest ourselves of whatever it is that binds us to a smaller reality and to invest our whole hearts in the kingdom of God. In our gospel reading today, Jesus is not making a threat. Jesus is not making a demand or issuing a new law. Do not be afraid. Giving is not about bribing God. It's not about changing God's mind or gaining God's approval. Giving is about making the most important thing the most important thing, even in our checkbooks. God's kingdom isn't far off and unattainable. The kingdom of God is very near to you. God isn't hiding it from you. God isn't looking for an excuse to keep you out. God, in fact, is systematically removing every barrier that might hinder you. And giving is one of God's tools in this holy work. So Abram was a wealthy man. But rather than being defined by his wealth and the power of his estate, Abraham wasn't afraid to invest his identity in the promise of God. And that promise, a promise of heirs as numerous as the stars of the sky, it looked pretty unlikely at the time. Today, over half the world, more than 4 billion of us claim Abraham as our father, as we practice one or another of the faiths that have descended from Abraham. It sounds to me like Abram's investment is starting to pay out. What are the opportunity costs inherent in your current portfolio of heartbeat investments? How might giving strengthen your identification with the kingdom of God? Where is your treasure? Do not be afraid.